Hey, Margie here. I get asked the question all the time, is it possible to build bone and increase bone density with exercise as we get older? And the answer is yes, and that's what we're going to talk about today. What method has been both researched and proven to increase bone density? And our special guest is Dr. Belinda Beck. And Dr. Beck is professor of exercise science at Griffith University in Australia and the director of the Bone Clinic, a research facility and clinical practice for patients with osteoporosis. Her research has focused on exercise interventions across the lifespan for bone health. And in recent years, she developed the Onera exercise program for the prevention of osteoporosis fractures, which is now delivered worldwide. And I'm also now doing the Onera program myself. So this is just an amazing program, and I'm just so excited to share this with everyone. So stay tuned. Welcome to the Happy Bones, Happy Life podcast. I'm Margie Bissinger, a physical therapist and integrative health coach, and I'm your host and guide on our journey to discover the keys to stronger bones, natural approaches to osteoporosis and bone health, and the secrets to live your best life ever. From nutrition to stress reduction, from exercise to happiness, you will gain revolutionary insights from our leading experts. It is time for you to discover the health and happiness you deserve. Welcome, Belinda. I am beyond thrilled to have you here. I am just so excited because, you know, the information and what you've done is completely life-changing. And just before I even, you know, well, hello, first of all. But before we even get started, I just have to fill you in a little bit because you don't sort of know what I've been up to. So you came on the summit, we had an interview, and I learned about the amazing clinic from your perspective and truly in depth about the Onera program. And we'll go into all this for people listening, but I just have to share my enthusiasm and my gratitude to you. And we went into the program. And then afterwards, I asked you, is there anyone in the United States doing this? And at the time, there was one person, Dr. Claudia Tomas. And I said, where does she live? And she lives in Somerset, New Jersey, which is 25 minutes from where I live. And I thought, what is the likelihood of that in the entire country? And so I said, right after that, I called Claudia. I had her on the podcast. And then I was so excited that even though I do strength training myself, not to this level, I said, I'm enrolling in the program. So that was in December that I had her on the podcast. I just started. I'm on my third time. Yeah, I've gone twice now. And I just, first of all, I walked in the class. So this is the ripple effect. So I walked in Claudia's program. First of all, we had the evaluation. And I walk in, and every woman there had heard about it because of the podcast. And that only happened because, isn't that crazy? Because I interviewed you, and then you told me about Claudia. And these women came from, you know, New York City, like a good hour away. But a lot of them have been there for months now. And they were just beaming, thanking me because their strength's better. They're just feeling great. In even a short time, they just can't get over the difference. So it was just, and I cannot get over the program. You know, as a physical therapist, I look at things very differently than the average person coming. But this program is amazing. It is just so phenomenal. I'm so excited that I'm part of it now and really seeing the inside of it and what it goes into it. So we'll go in, well, everyone's going to hear all about it. But I just have to thank you because you are making a tremendous difference in the world. And you are just taking people from fear of falling and being scared to truly empowered and strong. So anyway, I just had to give you that shout out. And I'm in a different place now than when I interviewed you the first time because I'm in the midst of it and I just see how amazing it is. So on that note, thank you so much.
That's absolute music to my ears, Maggie.
Isn't that exciting? I know.
Yeah, that's really, really great.
Because I was like thinking, yeah, this really is good. Is it really as good as it sounds? And now that I'm in the middle of it and I made time, I'm really busy, but I was like, no, I'm making time for this. And it's better, actually, than I even thought it would be. So let's start from the very beginning. I think even before Onera, I guess you can talk about, you know, your studies first and what led you. Why don't you go through the progression of the Livermore study and, you know, why you did that and how it even came to be Onero now.
Yeah, okay. So I guess my research career started in animal research, and in that world, we all know that when you can really tightly control your experiments and control the sort of loading that you put on bone, the kind of loading that bone responds to is heavy. It's high strain. It causes the bones to bend a little bit. It's not just your average sort of little rats trotting in a cage. You have to do more than that. Then I moved into human research, and I looked around the work that had been done and was just so disappointed that none of the exercise interventions were really having an effect on bone. And it didn't seem like they were having a particularly good effect on growing bone and stopping falls and all of those things that prevent fracture. So we got to a point where we were saying, well, is this the best we could do? And then I looked at exactly what they were doing in those studies. And I thought, oh, well, okay, that's why, because they're just not high enough intensity. So you're talking about things like walking, running, cycling, swimming, even resistance training. Many of them would have, well, resistance training often did show a maintenance effect, but it wasn't showing that the bone was actually growing. And the reason for people doing those kinds of tests is because they were worried that people who already had osteoporosis were at high risk of fractures, that they were scared of loading them heavy. And I just got to a point where I thought, well, fear isn't science. You have to test it to know whether something works. So what you just need to do is be careful. And that's what the Livermore trial was. It was a very carefully designed study of heavy lifting, high-intensity resistance and impact training. And we taught the movements carefully. We titrated the increases gradually, and we supervised, watched people like a hawk, and we did it for long enough. So 8 months was enough to see a change in bone. And at the end of it, that's when we had our final moment where actually, if you do the right kind of training, you can grow bone, even with people with very low bone mass.
It's so exciting, and we'll go on because then you developed the program. But I just have to say, talking to Claudia, who's been doing this, I guess, a year now, you know, she was so excited because the blood work has shown the bone turnover markers, the P1MP measuring the osteoblasts, have been changing in her participants. So she's actually seeing blood work improvements, saying, yes, we are causing an increase in the bone building cells here. So even before they've gotten their next DEXA, they are getting confirmation that there is improvements in the bone building cells, which I think is so incredible. And the other thing she told me, which wasn't something she expected, but because she looks at the blood work, or people have been getting blood work, also their A1C. So people who are pre-diabetic, and we know strength training helps, but she's been finding that the twice a week Onero program, they've been having significant reduction in their A1C as well. So very, very exciting. So now Tell me how you decided. You took the results of this Livermore, which were so wonderful, and you didn't just, this is what I love about you, and I just think so different than many people. Many people are researchers, they do the research, and they're not clinicians, so that's the end of it. They leave it to the clinicians, but no. Not you. So why don't you share? No, really, it's a big deal, this next step, because I'm sure this was not easy. It wasn't like, oh, sure, let's just start. Why don't you share then what you did after you finished the Onero?
Yeah, there was definitely a moment where I thought, okay, I could do what I normally do, publish and move on to the next study. But it was definitely a case of, wait, we did this in this particular way. If we just publish it and people just run with it, we're actually going to cause the fractures that we're trying to prevent. So we have to see if we can deliver this in the real world where people, you know, come in with all kinds of comorbidities, all sorts of aches, pains, breaks, conditions, pathologies. We don't screen anybody out. We don't have a control group. This is actually what happens in real life. And let's see if it works. And the only way we can do that is to actually have a research facility but it's a user pays facility. So people come to the clinic. They have the exact same testing as we did in the Lifmore study, probably with a little extra. So we do all the bone density scanning. We take a really thorough history of where we look at what they're currently doing with our meds, all the different things that are wrong with them. Then we do a lot of functional testing. And then we send them to the dietitian, and they have a really good comprehensive sort of diet analysis and a consult so that they get encouraged to eat bone healthy. And then we introduce them to the program, and they can come as much or as little as they want. But we tell them the evidence shows if you come twice a week, that works. And then we track when they come and what they're lifting. So we can, what I'm trying to do now, if I can get enough data, I should be able to look at things like dose response. Can somebody just come once a week and it's enough? Can someone come three times a week and it's better? I have a notion about that outcome, but I don't know for sure yet. So that's essentially what the bone clinic is. And I suppose it was so much of a success in just your average run-of-the-mill people, many of whom would not have qualified for Lifmore because they had, you know, they've got grade 3 knee arthritis or frozen shoulder. We see all of them, we just manage them. So it was so successful that we began to get a lot of contacts from people saying, we want your program. And of course, the only way to do that safely was to license it. So that's what the Onero license is, and Claudia is a licensee.
Yeah, no, it's just so very interesting. And tell us what I think is also amazing is what have you seen? Because you've been doing this now. How many years have you been doing this bone clinic?
We opened in July 2015. So in July, it'll be 9 years. And with a little break when COVID shut us down for 4 months, but it works I keep my prices very, very low because I want as many people to come as possible because we are about the research. But it does show that even if you do keep your prices down, you can keep your doors open, you can pay your staff, you can deliver a really high quality care. You know, I'm not like a big pharmaceutical company. Profit is not my goal. Research is my goal. And it thrives, you know. I suppose the most gratifying thing is the fact that people like you are believing it and willing to advocate for it, because the only way that we can get it out to many people is to have some advocates like this, because I'm an academic. I don't go around marketing the program. I'm not a saleswoman. People come to me and ask, and that's a very, you know, any salesperson will tell you that's the worst possible way to sell. So yeah, I'm hoping that more people will hear about it and it can get out around the world, because the one thing I have learned on this little trip I'm doing at the moment is that people everywhere have osteoporosis. Lots of people have osteoporosis, and they have the exact same challenges. They have the exact same questions as my clients in Australia. When I give talks, it's almost like I could press play on the last talk I did. They all have the same questions, the same fears, the same doubts, and the same enthusiasm and the desire to do something other than or alongside the medications that the doctors are prescribing.
You know, I couldn't agree with you more. And I'm also, you know, I'm a practitioner, medical person, so I'm not in the business marketing world. And we just think a little differently. But, you know, our goal is to help as many people as possible. But you're absolutely right, because I have people from all over the world in my programs. And it's the same thing. People want to take action, but they don't know what action to take and what's effective. They don't want to waste their time. They're scared. What can they do? So that's why it's so beautiful that you did the research. You know, this is research-based. It's not like, yeah, do this and you'll gain bone. Well, will I? Will I not? So I think that is so incredible. Hey, Margie here. High-quality supplements are a big part of a comprehensive osteoporosis program. To help you, I offer a significant discount every day in my supplement store through Fullscript. Fullscript has the most extensive catalog of professional-grade supplements and wellness products I've ever found. So all you need to do is go to tinyurl.com. That's tinyurl.com/supplements4less. And you'll get to my full script store. And in there, you'll see my favorite bone building supplements. So make sure to check it out. And the link will also be in the show notes. So let's get back to the show. But I want you to share, which you shared with me before, your results in terms of reducing fractures and reducing falls, what you've seen, because that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. So as well as increasing bone, we are interested in function. And so all those functional risk factors of falls, things like leg extensor strength and back extensor strength and timed up and go and tandem walk and sit to stand and kyphosis, your posture, all of those things are improving. But when we actually track falls and actually track fracture, we're reducing falls by about 50%, which is pretty good because most exercise programs, they report probably a 30% reduction in falls. So it just goes to show you get, if you get stronger, you actually get more able to stop yourself from falling. And of course, it's the neuromuscular adaptation as well. And we include balance and mobility exercises in the Onura program. But also this observation that we're seeing this reduction in fractures. Now, it takes a lot of people to be able to report a difference in fracture, because even though it seems like people are fracturing all over the place, and they kind of are, fractures are relatively uncommon things in terms of all the people who have very low bone mass. Not everybody fractures, and we're trying to prevent that first fracture. So it's very difficult to track something that doesn't happen really often. Like falls happen pretty often, but fractures not so much. So we're probably in about the 70 to 75% reduction in fractures range, but the numbers are quite small. So just ever the scientist, I just want to put a bit of a caveat around there. But I am reasonably confident that if I kept collecting data for the next 30 years, that's a number that's not really going to change. There's just so much that Onura can do to improve the bone mass and prevent the falls. And those are the two primary causes of fracture. Even mostly hip fractures are falls related phenomenon. But also if you fall, you can also, particularly if you fall back on your bottom, you can cause those vertebral fractures as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a hip fracture, 25%, almost 25% of people die within the year. So, and their life has changed forever. So it's amazing if we can prevent these hip fractures, and those numbers are incredible. But why don't you share, because I thought when I talked to you about the 3D imaging, what you saw with the hip, to me, that's incredible. And that you want to just discuss the 3D shaper, what you found with the hip. Explain that to people, because that's not showing up on the DEXA, and that's pretty, pretty impressive.
When most people would be familiar with DEXA, bone density scans, and the fact that when your doctor wants to find out if you have osteoporosis, he'll send you for one of the spine and one of the hip. And when they say hip is actually a joint. They mean the end of your femur, your thigh bone that's closest to your body that articulates with the pelvis. Now, when we measure the bone mineral density of the proximal femur, we look at total hip and the femoral neck, because femoral neck is where a lot of the fractures happen. When you measure the bone density after Onura, I got to tell you, I was really disappointed in the Lifmore study that we didn't see a massive increase. I mean, people lifting heavy and doing impact training, and we had less than a percentage improvement on average in BMD at the hip. This was significant because the control groups lost about 2%. So it did show that there was a BMD effect, but I was scratching my head because it didn't make any sense to me. Luckily, I have this 3D hip software, which allows us to look at the shape of the proximal femur, the thickness of the bony cortex, and how wide the femoral neck is. Now, if you think along lines of just a regular pipe, which is sort of what the bone is, the long part of the bone, it's the pipe, sort of it's got a thickness of the outside of the pipe, it's hollow. And you know, if you had a thin pipe that was hollow and you bent it, it'd be easy to bend. But if you had a big, thick pipe, it's quite hard to bend. So putting more bone on the outside of the pipe, if you like, or the femur, makes it stronger. So that structural adaptation would be very advantageous. And lo and behold, that's what we saw in the Livermore study, that the thickness of the pipe, if you like, or the femur, the femoral neck, improved. It improved about 13% on average the whole way around. But the cool thing was it improved almost 30% at the lateral side or the top side where the fractures start. So this was showing the body, as usual, has this amazing ability to adapt to the loads that are put on it, and it adapted exactly where it needed to. And when we did the Livermore for Men study, we also saw an adaptation. We saw the adaptation there on the other side of the femoral neck, but it doesn't matter because an adaptation in either place is going to make that much more resistant to fracture.
And at the end of the day, it's not the number on the DEXA that we're after. And the end of the day, we want to live our life being active and healthy and without any fractures. And that's what this program does. It's, you know, it's not a passive program, but it's one that when you do it, right? And what have you seen with the women? And do you have some good stories how people are transformed, right, from couch potato to strong woman? What do you see?
Yeah, look, I think probably from my perspective, when I go to the clinic, I walk in the door, you know, I'm loaded up with bags and I've got stuff in my head and I walk in and there's a class in progress and I see smiles on faces. I just see people striding around the room, look, standing up straight, being completely empowered, comfortable with what they're doing and something that was completely foreign to them. You know, before they came to the clinic, so, well, I'm not going to be one of the ones doing that, am I? And I said, well, yeah, you probably are. And sure enough, here they are, being one of those people who the new people go, I couldn't possibly do that. So it is all about empowerment. And that's a hard outcome to measure. So the way I do it is I look at quality of life. And there's a tool, which I'm sure you're aware of, called the SF26. And we do the SS12 because it's quicker. We do so much testing, we want to make things quick. And it has two categories. One is mental and one is physical quality of life. And when you break it down, there is a very evident improvement in the physical quality of life of people who are coming to the clinic. So I agree with you. A number on a DEXA scan, to me, it doesn't even matter. As long as their quality of life is improving, that's what I care about as a human, not as a researcher, as a person who, you know, postmenopausally, I'm at risk just like everybody else. So I care what my quality of life is like.
Yeah, absolutely. And I felt the same way. You know, I'm telling you, it was like an aha moment when I walked into that class. When I walked in before the class started, everybody's in the room and they're like, oh, it's you. I don't normally feel like a celebrity at all, but it was like I felt, you know what, just because I interviewed people, you know, just what had happened and that me having this podcast, you know, attracted these people to completely change their life. It just made me feel so good. But they were so happy. They were, and a lot of them had been there for months and they just couldn't get over what had changed since December. We're not talking, you know, a year. So I can only...
Yeah.
Imagine. But so for people listening, is there anyone this would be contraindicated? You know, is there anybody who you would say, you know what, you can't do Onera? Like, what would you say? You know, someone's laying in bed, obviously they're bedridden, they're not going to be able to do Onera, but what would you say is the criteria?
Well, this is something that we think long and hard. We want to be as inclusive as possible because, of course, it's horrible if someone says, I'm sorry if we can't help you. We help pretty much everybody who is able to independently mobilize, so they can walk around the gym by themselves without a walker. Having said that, if somebody has, say, an ankle fracture when they come to us, they probably on some kind of mobility device, as long as they've got the capacity to get off it, and that's totally fine. But if someone is wheelchair bound, you know, a neuro is not for you. The other thing is, we do have people who come to the clinic with a degree of cognitive decline, and they're okay. But you have to be able to follow instructions because, you know, if you've got a coach who is saying, I need you to put your back in this position, if they don't understand what they're being told, it's not safe. So there's those sort of, I call it willing and able to do the program. So able to move around, able to take instructions, and willing to actually come to class and do it. And there are some people who just don't know what you say to them. They are not exercising. My mother would be one of those. And my mother with the wrist fracture and the constant falls. But I suppose there's a few other things that pop up, and people often ask us about pelvic floor dysfunction, scoliosis, and knee OA. Now, those three things we can absolutely manage. Scoliosis, as far as I'm concerned, is not a contraindication at all. Two of the record breaking power lifters in history were both men with severe scoliosis and not getting injured. We see a lot of scoliosis. You just need to be careful, listen to your body, and we are careful with how we load them. Pelvic floor is an ongoing concern, and we obviously have to be careful with people who've just had surgery, and we manage them individually, probably a little bit more conservatively. And knee OA, we just adjust the movements a
Well,
little
everyone,
bit. And
osteoarthritis, maybe everybody doesn't know what OA is.
yes, osteoarthritis. So can be very, very painful. For people with mild osteoarthritis, almost certainly that will improve. If they're severe, grade four, you know, very, very deteriorated, need a lot of pain, that's probably a recipe for a knee replacement. But once you've got your knee replacement, come and do a Neuro because it's going to make you much, much stronger and able to be rehabbed. Now, there's only one other thing that I've looked into just recently because it came up. You know, one of our clients had glaucoma. And so we did a bit of a deep dive into the literature to see what the risks are. Now, I personally think the risk is very low, but there's data to suggest that heavy lifting does increase the intraocular pressure, which is contraindicated for glaucoma. Having said that, it doesn't seem to increase it any more than many of the others. You know, even just being stressed, increasing blood pressure seems to increase it. So that's why I say it's probably okay, but we don't have really good evidence on that. And because it's about eyesight, I tend to want to be on, you know, err on the side of caution. So we just say, speak to your ophthalmologist, and we take each individual, you know, as they come.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense. So I think there are a couple of things that I just want to speak to as a physical therapist, something that I think is very, very, very important and different about Onero, because there are exercise programs and they'll train anybody. They don't care. So there are programs that, you know, report to have all sorts of great effects. The person's a technician or the person has absolutely no background. And that's scary. That's very scary because when you're doing this, what I've seen, and in terms of the pelvic floor, the preparation for this program is unbelievable. I'm so impressed with the exercises and making sure you totally know how to stabilize the pelvic floor and how to stabilize your core when you're lifting so you are safe. So there's a tremendous amount of preparation that goes into before someone's doing the heavy lifting. You know, that's what they won't let you do the heavy lifting until you are prepared for it. And you are because of this beautiful step-by-step approach. So I think that was just brilliant of you that you have to be, you want to explain, because I know you have to be with the physical therapist or exercise physiologist, but you want to explain how you chose that and why that's just so important for this program to be considered safe.
I do take the, I'm not a medical practitioner, but I do take the do no harm principle pretty seriously. The last thing I want to do is hurt anybody with this program. So the best way to avoid that is to ensure that the coaches are extremely well trained. Now, as a general rule, as you say, that means I need people who are physical therapists, or we call them physiotherapists in Australia and I think in the UK, because they have training in anatomy and physiology and biomechanics, and they understand what the body does and the forces on it and the reasons for certain positioning and so on. But probably a lot of less trained people, like an exercise scientist, for example, also have that knowledge. The difference is a physiotherapist or a clinical exercise physiologist have clinical training. And I think what is very important is that you can identify when somebody has a comorbidity, meaning another condition that will influence your safety doing a neuro. So a classic example is osteoarthritis, pelvic floor, frozen shoulder, vertigo, spondylolysis, a sore back, sacroiliac problem. There's a million things that people can and do have. Heart condition, uncontrolled cardiovascular disease. That's somebody who needs to see their doctor before they start taking up very heavy lifting. So you need to be able to recognize those things so that you can manage your patients safely or your clients. I often am contacted by personal trainers who have years of exercise training with clients, and I'm very respectful of that. They're probably fantastic coaches, but they can sometimes get offended at me if I say that they're actually not eligible because they don't have that clinical training. So again, it comes back to protecting clients who are going to somebody to look after them while they do this really high intensity program.
I think that's so important. And what separates this from so many other, there's many things that separate it. But, I saw how Claudia, as a physical therapist, people were doing very different things. There were people who had shoulder issues, so they were changing positions and making sure everything was just so-so. And that's, to be safe. So I think to ensure quality and to ensure that you don't have injuries, because as you said, someone cannot read the lift more, which I see a lot. People read the research and say, okay, I have to do this. Well, it could be incredibly dangerous and cause exactly what you're trying to prevent if people just haphazardly go about these exercises, because there's so much more to it than by just looking at someone doing it. You don't know all the intricacies that go into every single exercise presented in the program.
And it actually also, just being a physiotherapist or an EP, does not guarantee that you can read that paper and implement it. I have had examples of people calling me and saying, your program hurt me. And I'll say, wait, when did you come to the bone clinic and how did we hurt you? And, oh, no, I don't go to the bone clinic. I go to my local physio who does your program. Oh, who is that person? And it won't be a licensed provider. This won't be anyone who we have trained to deliver it carefully to people with osteoporosis. It'll just be somebody, as you say, who has read the paper and gone, I can do those exercises. And they hurt somebody. And so the licensing of the program is absolutely not just protecting clients, but it's actually protecting the provider.
So tell us what it is, because there are people who are listening. And because that's what everybody asks me, the people who are within where I live, have come to Claudia, but there are people all over the world. So two questions, actually. One, I guess, let's start first. How does anyone listening, how can they find out if there's someone who's trained in Onero near them? Let's answer that question first.
So we have created an Onero map. So they just have to put into your browser Onero locations, and Onero as in how it's spelled on my shirt, with locations, and the map will come up. It'll probably come up based on where you're located, but if it doesn't, just scroll around the world until it goes to where you are. Then zoom in on your area, and if you see any little tags, click on the tag and it will drop down with the contact, with the location and contact details of that provider. Now, I know there are not many around the world. I've got about 60 in Australia, but it's a slow process. And the very best way, if you want to do Onero near to you, is to go to your local physiotherapist or clinical exercise physiologist or equivalent. I mean, I am happy to talk to anybody who has that exercise and clinical training. I can be definitely be flexible and just say, I want to do this program. Can you go search up Oneiro Academy? That will take you to the website and it will show you how to get licensed. That information will come to me. We can start that process. And that's actually how most of the Oneiro licensees have come to be. And you know, I don't see licensees dropping their license. For me, it's research. For licensees, it's revenue. So it is actually, you know, something that supports their business.
Well, Claudia's practice is booming because people need this and they're so excited. And, you know, and the interesting thing, I remember talking to Claudia and she's like, I have to tell you, because she has a strength and conditioning background as well. And she said, you know, when Belinda told me twice a week, I was really skeptical. Like, twice a week, is that enough? Can we really have these changes? But she went on what you said and she's like, yeah, we, you know, she sees all the changes with the twice a week program. So it's so exciting. Now, the other thing that people need to know is that it's online. You don't have to fly to Australia. So why don't you share how long it is?
Again, being a scientist and not a salesperson, I made the classic a rookie error. And I have an online program that people can sign up to called Oneiro Online, but it is not Oneiro. It's just a falls prevention program. And that's something that, you know, people with osteoporosis, they can just enroll in that and do some exercises at home unsupervised. That's different from the Oneiro training program for providers, for physios and EPs. So that's the Oneiro Academy. When I've screened them and they're eligible and I put them into the system, then the whole training program opens up to them. It takes about 6 hours to work through. There are videos and there's little quizzes after each section that you must pass so you can go through the whole thing. Because obviously I want to be sure that people are actually doing the training. And at the end, you get a certificate that you can print out, put it in a little frame in your business showing that you are an accredited Oneiro provider. And also there's a whole other section that opens up to you, which I call the VIP section, but it's for everybody. And these are all the ancillary materials. So this is, you know, there's a brochure and that you can use with local doctors. There's how to do progressions into certain exercises, how to manage a very high-risk client. There's actually a PowerPoint presentation you can show to your local doctors to help them, to educate them as to what the program is. There's just a ton of stuff in there. And it's very straightforward. And one of the other benefits of being a provider is I'm here at the end of an email. It's, if you have a really difficult client, just email me and we talk about it.
Yeah, I'm really glad you answered that question because there were people who wrote to me, oh, I was able to just do it online. Like, what are you talking about? So I'm glad you specified that that's more of a fall prevention, just a basic program that's safe for people to do by themselves.
And very inexpensive, $5 a week or something. It's a long-term sort of two-year progressive, lots of balanced mobility, a little bit of strength and a little bit of impact, but all very, you know, and many of my bone clinic clients are doing it as well as Oneiro because it gives us something to do at home. And you do need to do a lot of balanced training to actually make a difference in your falls risk. So, yeah, it's good to have both.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good point because there are people who are discouraged. You know, there's just no way because they're not at that level and maybe they can't even stand or walk across the room. But yet I always tell people you can do balance. You can do balance. And by improving balance, guess what? You'll reduce your risk of falls and you can live. You're still going to totally change the quality of your life. So I think there is a huge role for that in addition to this. So this is so exciting. And I everyone stay tuned for how I become strong woman here.
Yeah, no, I'm really going to keep tabs on you, Margie. I want to know what you're you're lifting.
And then, of course,
it's not a competition because a small person is not going to be able to lift as much as a big person. But it becomes a competition with yourself. I know when I'm lifting, I get so infuriated when I'm not advancing. So I'll just get the little tiny micro plates and put those on. Yeah, so I just added 0.5 of a kilo today. I'm stealing $1 million.
Yeah, it's not like that. It's everybody is there because everybody's doing different things. You know, everybody's at different levels. And I had a shoulder injury back in college. And so I've always babied this shoulder a little bit. And I do strength training for years, but I babied the shoulder for a little. So now we're not babying it. And it's been fine. You know, it's just interesting. It's good to have someone else advising you and helping you do it safely. Even though I'm a physical therapist and I know what to do, it's very different. And it's just been, yeah. So everyone, I will keep everybody updated, but it is exciting. Yeah, I was surprised what I was able to do. You know, even initially, I was like, oh, very interesting. And things I thought I was doing right. You know, just some things I thought, like, I had to do this. But yet the subtle changes, oh, really? You know?
Yeah, it's definitely a subtle program. And, you know, if you're like that, somebody who's very well informed and has this background and training, you can imagine the apprehension of many of the clients and patients around the world. I'd say probably the Italians, where I just was last week, are probably the most apprehensive. And I was talking to Francesco, who is one of my licensees in Italy, and I explained to him how to test, how much he needed to be loading his clients. And he ran that test after I left, and he came back and told me that he been able to increase one person 30 kilos because she was so incredibly light, underloaded. And I knew that because I could tell just by looking. And he said he just did it. And she just lifted it. And she sort of went, oh, that's what you mean. Well, that wasn't so hard. You know, and nothing at all that she would have considered doing in her life. And suddenly she did it and went, oh, that's all it is. Okay, well, I can do that. I mean, it's hard, but I can do it.
Yeah. And I remember on the summit, you told me that in Australia, the trail that only people's husbands were doing, that now they were able to, what is that? Can you tell
us? Oh, the Kupanda track. Yeah. 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 That's something people like to do as a bit of a homage to the World War II veterans who really suffered over in New Guinea.
Yeah, so exciting. This is just, I can't thank you enough. Is there any last minute things? Did we leave anything out that we want to share? Is there anything else that you want to share with everybody before we end?
I guess I just want to say that if you do want to be an Onira provider, certainly just contact me, but please make sure that you do have the qualifications. And if you don't have, for example, you're an exercise scientist, but you work in a clinic and you have physiotherapists who can help you and consult, that's possibly okay. And we can talk about that. But if you are a personal trainer who's working on your own, that you would not be eligible unless you had clinical training. But having said that, the demand around the world is absolutely huge. I can't tell you how many emails we get from clients. So I am over the moon when another person contacts me from somewhere we don't have a license. And we put those people into our newsletter and send it out, and they get their first sort of glut of clients because people are just waiting for when Onira comes to their town.
Oh, after the summit, I've gotten hundreds, honestly, you know, asking, loved your talk and where can I find somebody and this and that. And I just give them the information. But it's just been really exciting. And I think that's part of what I love to do is give people resources and, you know, things that are really going to make a difference in their life. And what you've done is just that. And I'm just so grateful because I see I see what's happening. I just can't, you know, when P1NP, osteoblasts are increasing and people's lives are changing. This is great stuff. So I'm just
stuff. Yeah, very. For me, it's the culmination of what I've worked my entire academic career, and you know, so many people who can say that. So I'm so grateful that I have the opportunity to do it, and that people are getting the benefit. It's a nice capstone for my career.
You know, it's funny because I teach a happiness program, and one of the things I teach is to savor. You know, you savor the good. Sometimes you get a compliment and you just like let it go. But you know, God, Belinda, savor that. Like, wow, I have made such a difference in so many people's lives around the world just because I was persistent, had an idea, and kept going. So anyway, I'm just very grateful to you and happy that we can spread this to more people through the podcast. So thank you so much. And you're in England, so thank you. I know you're on vacation or you're doing a trip. So thank you for taking the time to be here and chat with all of us. Thanks so much, Belinda. And I'll keep you updated on my progress.
Yeah, thanks for being such a great advocate, Margie. I couldn't do it without people like you who, you know, actually have the following and people hear the message much more broadly than I could ever do. So thank you.
My pleasure. It's a very important message. So get psyched, everybody. Thanks so much, Belinda. It's been a pleasure. I hope you enjoyed my interview with Dr. Beck and how exciting that we can build bone at any age with the appropriate exercise. This has been shown in her research as well as clinically. And I'm doing this program and absolutely loving it. So it's such a win-win situation. All the links will be in the show notes. And make sure also to check out my Improve Your Bone Health Naturally. It's a free mini course to help get you started on your path to stronger bones. So thanks so much for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Thanks for listening to this episode. Be sure to get your free gift that includes the best posture exercises and stress reduction techniques for better bone health that you can do right now by clicking the link in the show notes or YouTube descriptions. Also, if you know someone with low bone density or osteoporosis, then please do them a favor and share this link to the show with them. Until next time, continue to live your best life ever. See you soon.